He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning live show, the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we may have Barry here after the break. The market, I would say, is off to a nervous start. We're broadcasting live from Sarasota today. And why is it nervous? Well, you got a few things going on in the world right now. And this interest rate situation, which we'll talk about today. But right now you've got a Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's up 120 to 37,855. I'm going to give United Healthcare credit for that. You know, we need to see a bottom in United Healthcare and in Boeing. That would help the Dow a lot. The S&P is down 4 points, 5,057. And the NASDAQ has just pulled back to about even. It was 50 points to the downside. It's at 15,881. The small caps continue to get hit. They are down 1.1% as interest rates continue to climb. Crude oil is down 16 cents. Gold is up 8 bucks. The 10-year is up another 5 basis points to 4.68. That's the problem in the Middle East. And last but not least, Bitcoin's getting clobbered today, down 3,200 to 62,678. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting from beautiful Sarasota today. Not the sleepy village it once was. Oh, no. Now home to the mega yachts and the $7 million waterfront condo, Waterview condos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people here coming to Sarasota. It's really changed I guess I've been coming here for 10 years maybe. But I know the folks that have been here longer, they've really seen the changes come here to Sarasota. But it is a beautiful spot. Otherwise, they would not be coming here, right? Okay, we've got a nervous start to the market today, which doesn't surprise me. A little apprehensive. And I'm going to give you a little technical update today on the major indexes because there's some changes taking place that we have to be very aware of and alert to make sure the changes don't get any worse right here. Worse right now, they're contained. But obviously, yesterday we had a big reversal in the market. It always happens, you know. As soon as I'm in flight traveling, there's a big reversal in the market. The Dow ends up down 250 yesterday after being up most of the day. And I would just say that it's the rhetoric coming out of the Middle East, which will not be rhetoric someday. It will be an action plan, an action taking place. That put the Dow down 248 yesterday. The NASDAQ yesterday was also down. But having said that, it was interest rates. It was interest rates that caused it, a 13 basis point hike in interest rates yesterday. That is really surprising. What could we use here to get this market back on track? We could use some good news on inflation. Now, Jerome Powell is speaking today at 1:15. Maybe he'll say something about interest rates. And I did hear, as I was just getting ready to go on the air here, that the Lagarde over in Europe is saying that the ECB is going to cut rates sooner rather than later. That's good news because our Fed, they seem to be kind of in lockstep these days. They seem to be in cahoots. They seem to be in sync with one another. That news that the ECB is looking at rate cuts, maybe we'll hear something good from Jerome Powell here later today, not much later, in about 3 hours. And I think we're going to hear something good from him. That's my prediction right here, okay? So you had a sell-off yesterday, nervous market, tensions flaring in the Middle East. I heard of explosions down in Rafah yesterday taking place. Is Israel going in to finish the job against Hamas down there in Rafah? And, of course, I think you can count on it, there will be some kind of a counterattack, some kind of retaliation on Iran. We just don't know where it is, when it will happen, what the magnitude will be for what occurred there over the weekend. So that's got the markets on edge. We are in earnings season also, so that makes things volatile. We're not headed into a bear market, okay? I sent out charts this morning to all of my subscribers and clients who like to get my alerts. And the first chart I sent out was the Dow. And the Dow is doing the worst of all of the three indexes. The Dow broke a little bit of support yesterday. It's now in a corrective phase. The Dow is now down 5.2% from the top. And it's mostly a couple of stocks. It's United Healthcare, which hopefully is going to bottom here. They had a good earnings report today. Boeing is not helping the Dow. It's been a big drag on the Dow. The Dow is the worst performer of the three indexes. And then yesterday you had the big sell-off in Salesforce, which is a member of the Dow, on the news that they were going to try to purchase Informatica. I'm surprised at how much that stock got hit yesterday. But that was another big part of the sell-off in the Dow. The Dow is definitely in a little corrective trend here, and I think there's the possibility for it to go down to its 200-day moving average, which is just above 36,000. We're just below 38,000. If that were to take place, you'd have about a 9.5% correction overall from the top, which would help with that forward P.E. ratio, bring it more back in line into the 19 area instead of 20 to 21 where it's been here recently. So we are vulnerable on the downside. I think we are in the midst of a correction. We're down 5.2% so far from the top on the Dow. The S&P and the NASDAQ have held up better than the Dow. There's no real stinkers in the S&P like the Dow has right now. The S&P is down 3.7% so far in a correction. The S&P 500 has not broke down into a downtrend like the Dow has. The S&P is holding on to its support, but threatening to roll over and break below its support level at about 50, about where it is right now, really. You got to kind of hold this level. And then it is below the 50-day moving average. The S&P is also vulnerable to its 200-day moving average, which would take it down to 4,700. That would be what, about a 12% correction or so from here? That is possible, but I want to emphasize the word correction. The economy is too good right now. The jobs market is too good right now. We are not headed into a bull market at this point in time, nor are we headed into a recession at this point in time. And the earnings picture still looks too good for next year, 2025. For us to be headed into a bear market. But I've been saying now for about a month, 6 weeks, that the market got ahead of itself. It blasted off there, jumping the gun a little bit on rate cut hopes. And then we had some bad inflation reports, some sticky inflation reports. And that's kind of put us into this little correction mode that we're in right now. I think we could halt this correction mode if we get some good news on inflation and some good earnings coming out from the Wall Street. So we'll just, you know, we'll take it a day at a time. We'll take it a stock at a time. Most of your major tech stocks are holding in there. They're holding support. The one notable breakdown was Salesforce yesterday, which we do not own. And I warned about the software sector several weeks ago. I said, look, the software sector, the cybersecurity stocks, they have leveled off. They are rolling over. And they look very vulnerable to a pretty strong correction. They are definitely, that's definitely happening with them right now. And the chip stocks, the jury is still out as to whether or not they'll hold this support level, which they are so far, or will they follow the software stocks and start to roll over and correct somewhat. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about the earnings picture. At the end of the day, it's vital, a vital indicator. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we'll call it the Lagarde bounce. It has helped the market somewhat since she said, well, the ECB is looking at rate cuts. So anyways, that is helping our market. And I think it will be important when Jerome, it's always important when Jerome Powell speaks. I mean, when he speaks, the market listens and reacts immediately. And I'm expecting something a little bit, especially with the geopolitics getting pretty heated up here. I think he may send out some words to soothe the markets a little bit. Just, you know, they're dying for that rate cut later on this year. And let's hope we get some good news on that. But right now, I mean, we've gone positive, and the NASDAQ has gone positive so far. I talked to the people here at the Hyatt Hotel. I guess they're going to be around until August of 2025 is what I heard. So I haven't, the bulldozers are next door at the buildings. This is not a peaceful place. It's not the quiet, sleepy town. There's construction, a lot of noise, and there has been every year, really, for the last several years that I've come here. This is the hot area. Right, this is Ground Zero in Sarasota here, where we are at now. What a booming city! And I will say one thing. One thing that I noticed last night that I haven't noticed before so much. I didn't see as many mega yachts. I'm talking mega yachts, not like my fishing boat. Okay, that I go red fishing in. Mega yachts in the down by Marina Jacks and all that. Wow, pretty impressive. Dang, I'd hate to fill up the tank on one of those babies. Well, Nvidia's starting to do good here. It's up 2%. Super Microcomputers up 4.7%. You know, I would also say there is a direct link between the AI sector, which is a new sector in the market, fairly new sector, and the NASDAQ. If the AI stocks start to go south, you know, then the NASDAQ's going to go south. But right now, those AI stocks are keeping the NASDAQ from rolling over. The NASDAQ is in a sideways topping trend. It could break out to new highs from here, or it could roll over and follow the Dow. But right now, it's AI holding it up. And I think it's interest rates scaring, and then risk, global risk, you know, the geopolitics in the Middle East, which tends to make people a little, their risk appetite to go down somewhat. So all of that is in play at this point in time in the market. And, of course, earnings are in play. Today we've had Bank of America report. I'm not a big, I don't own any of the big banks. I don't think that's a very good place to be invested. I know the big firms around here. When I drive down the main drag there and, right by Marina Jacks, and I see those big giant competitors. Of course, I'm just a little guy. I'm David. They're Goliath. The big guys, Morgan Stanley and whatnot, they love the banks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup. I don't. Johnson & Johnson has reported today. That's another one that they love. It's a big holding of the big mega firms who probably own the big mega yachts downtown. I don't know, down at the harbor. But Johnson & Johnson's reported. United Healthcare's reported. Morgan Stanley, speaking of which, they've reported. United Airlines is going to report. And then, really, for me, there's five this week that I'm especially keyed on the earnings reports. Tomorrow, ASM, because it's one of the five. There should be a fabulous five in the AI stocks. ASM is definitely one of them. It's in the Netherlands. It makes the equipment that makes these NVIDIA chips able to be built. ASM will report tomorrow. That's going to be a very big report. On Thursday, Netflix and Taiwan Semiconductor. Those are a couple of big important ones. And then on Friday, you're going to get Procter & Gamble, which is in the Dow, and American Express. So those are kind of the important ones that are coming up. Abbott Labs also coming up. Las Vegas Sands, a few other second kind of tier stocks there. Intuitive Surgical, KeyCorp, Alaska Air. They're also reporting this week, Schlumberger. And by the way, the oil stocks look pretty weak right now. And oil seems to have leveled off in that 85 to 86 area. I can't predict oil prices. It's very difficult. You know, obviously what happened in the Middle East over the weekend is not interrupting any kind of oil supply at this point in time. There has been talk of Israel taking out some of the refineries in Iran, which are helping to finance Iran's ventures around the Middle East. That would definitely affect oil prices if that were to happen. The straits there continue to be under heavy pressure from the Houthi rebels. So all of that right now. And then there's China. Okay, you can't ignore China right now and their economy. That's why we've seen copper prices soaring here recently on hopes that China economy is coming back. Well, we got three very important reports from China. Number one, their GDP expanded a little bit to 5.3%, a little better than expected. They were expecting 5.2, or they did 5.2 last quarter. This quarter is 5.3, which beat expectations. Now, I always look at the reaction of the Chinese market, FXI. It's down 1%. So I'm saying that wasn't as good a report as it sounds like on the surface. Because on the other hand, China's industrial production and retail sales rose less than expected in March. Personally, I'm not seeing the comeback in China that seems to be reflected in copper prices and iron ore prices. But there is hope, and of course they're keeping their interest rates very, very low. It would help to see some kind of a good rebound in the Chinese economy just by looking at the charts daily of China, the inverse China. I'm not seeing that big, big comeback in their economy yet. Well, here's a sign of the times, okay? Those F-35 jets, we found out, are pretty important. Their specialty is shooting down incoming missiles, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, drones. Lockheed wins a U.S. missile defense contract. Now, this is the next generation of interceptors that would guard the U.S. against an intercontinental ballistic missile attack. $17 billion contract for Lockheed Martin, who is a big part of that whole Iron Dome defense system. And, of course, the F-35s that shot those drones and missiles down. Lockheed gets a big contract. The next generation of interceptors, which also come from outer space. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you can definitely tell that it's a nervous market. it's up and then it's falling back here. I mean, during the commercial breaks, it's changing by 30, 40 points. We're only up 50 now on the Dow. The S&P is down 14, and now the NASDAQ's back down again. It's down 29 after being up 40 before we went to commercial break. It's a nervous market. You know, a lot of it is keyed to the news coming out of Israel. That's one of the channels that I monitor. I monitor I-24, which is an app that gives you their live, news about what is going on over there, right from them, okay? Not from BBC, not from Al Jazeera, not from Reuters. I also track them. I also track the Tehran Times, which I showed in my newsletter over the weekend. And there's a lot hanging on, how big of a response that Israel has to Iran. And then what kind of response then Iran would have back? Oh, it just kind of like makes for a very, very nervous situation right now. I'm hoping that Jerome Powell says something positive about interest rates and a rate cut later today at 1:15 p.m. But in the meantime, the market is nervous. Okay, now... A couple of areas also that I think got ahead of themselves, and now they're in correction mode. I thought the oil stocks got way ahead of themselves. I did not get sucked into them. Yeah, I mean, you could have bought them for a few weeks or 6 weeks or whatever, and now they're all pulling back pretty sharply. Would I get into them now? I think I would wait and see what happens next in the Middle East. And I think the other bunch of stocks that got way ahead of themselves were the gold stocks and gold itself. And now I'm seeing them pull back pretty sharply. And they look to me like they're way overdone here at this level. I own just one. I have one small position in a gold stock in our emerging growth portfolio. But as far as the big portfolios go, you know, the problem with gold, yes, it has its use, but it's not really a sustainable growth trajectory kind of sector. It ebbs and falls with factors like interest rates, obviously. It's looking forward to rate cuts. I think the chances of a rate cut have become a little bit slimmer. And that's why you're seeing one of the reasons why gold's selling off. And, of course, gold global conflict. And then the buying by the central banks, where you've had China for the last 17 months buying gold. Gold seems to be more of a trading asset class, just from my perspective. Because over the long haul, over the last 10 years, gold has averaged an annual return of about 5.5%. Which has trailed the S&P by quite a bit. The S&P has been more in the 17.5% over the last 10 years average, which is way above average because we've had above average earnings growth during that same 10 years. So those stocks are not behaving well right now, the gold stocks or the oil stocks. But I saw somebody out there. Oh, Citigroup. Citigroup projects gold to hit $3,000 an ounce amid geopolitical heat. Okay, so that's the most aggressive projection that I've seen out there. Goldman Sachs has a $2,700 target price on gold by year end. That's very aggressive. The consensus is maybe $2,500, which doesn't leave a lot of room for upside potential from where it's at right now. Now, if one of those missiles would have gotten through and done extended damage or lives lost, or if any one of them had been carrying any nuclear material, we'd be looking at a different picture today with gold. And, of course, that still is a possibility out there on the horizon. But right now, me personally, I think that gold is overdone a little bit, and I think the gold stocks also are overdone. I'll tell you another area, Cathie Wood's ARK Fund, I use that as a barometer for risk on, risk stocks, high risk. I mean, these are long duration stocks that are very, very sensitive to interest rates. And when you see a 16 basis point gain in rates yesterday, not by the Fed, the market, her ARK fund is now below its 200-day moving average for the first time in 5 months. That's not good for her. That's bad to have it. The Dow is still above its 200. Everything is pretty much well above its 200-day moving average. But her fund continues to break down because her main stocks, Tesla continues to break down, Roku continues to break down, and now Bitcoin is starting to break down. So not good. And now I bring that up because, on the other hand, one of the best-looking inverse funds out there right now is Sark. Sark is one-to-one inverse of Cathie Wood's ARK funds, and it's breaking out right now. It certainly looks a lot better than its counterpart, which is ARK. And I do use Sark from time to time. When you get into a risk-off, rising interest rate environment, there's no better inverse fund out there than Sark, because it can go very quickly to the upside when she starts going to the downside. Here's another worry. European gas prices push higher, recouping year-to-date losses on rising supply fears. Well, you know, they have still that never really got fixed. Their supply, their dependable supplies of natural gas, especially in Germany, you've got an outage at Norway's big gas processing plant. Europe does not source much gas from the Middle East, but, you know, it's relied heavily, obviously, on Russia. And then over here you've got President Biden putting the kibosh on a lot of the liquid natural gas production down in the Louisiana and the shipping of that gas to Europe. The reason I bring that up is that's very inflationary. If those gas prices start going up again, that's why you had much hotter inflation in the UK than you did in the US, because of the natural gas prices, which have come way down. But that is something I look at every single day, is those that UNG chart. It's still very soft. I mean, they're lucky that gas prices are as low as they are right now. But if supplies get tight, that wouldn't be good for inflation. Tesla will report 1 week from today. The options imply a wild ride. I would not expect very good numbers out of Tesla. They laid off 10% of their workforce yesterday. They announced that. And the other EV stocks, such as Lucid and Rivian, they look horrible. They just look awful. Okay, let's see what else we got going on here today. Baidu, their AI tool, surpasses 200 million users. That's the Chinese AI stock. But when I look at Baidu, that's not a good chart at all. That's a terrible chart on Baidu. And most of the Chinese stocks look very similar to that. Nissan aims to launch EVs equipped with solid-state batteries by 2028. Well, we've heard of this, which would be a major move away from the lithium, and we'll see how that works out. But you're looking way down the road, 2028, at the solid-state batteries. Okay, now, just a few earnings before we got to go to break. United Healthcare. I think when United Healthcare bottoms, which maybe it did finally, that's going to help the Dow. It's up 5.4% today. They finally had some good news between the hack, the investigation, the reimbursements from the government not being what they expected in Medicare. UNH has just been under heavy pressure, and it's a member of the Dow, and it's been part of the Dow breaking down here recently. But you've got finally some good news on UNH. Now if we can get Boeing turned around a little bit, which it continues to scratch out new lows, that would help also. We'll be right back. A few more earnings to go over, and then we'll look underneath the surface of the market. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we have a pretty busy schedule planned here with appointments the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, Thursday. But, you know, if you want to try to work a way in here, we can fit you in somewhere. We'll figure it out. If we got to go to Marina Jack's for some clam chowder or whatever after the market closes this evening, we'll do whatever it takes, okay? And Edie is here on site. She's directing the traffic for us here. You can call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And, of course, Barry and I are here meeting with folks. On Thursday, I'll be flying solo meeting with folks. Edie will still be here. But we'll figure it out. If you want to meet with us while we're in town, we probably won't be back until probably August, something like that. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. All right. Well, the market's nervous. The market, I think Jerome Powell's speech later today is going to be pretty important. I think he's going to say something on, I think he's going to say something that will help the markets because, you know, he also knows about the geopolitical risk out there and how it's impacting the markets. And he doesn't want to hurt the markets, even more with bad news from the Fed. So maybe he'll try to help the markets out a little bit, get through this very intense geopolitical concern right now. J&J sets guidance below consensus. Well, what's new? Okay, it's been a terrible stock over the years, unfortunately, and it's hitting a new 52-week low. Okay, good stocks in a bull market are not hitting new 52-week lows. They're hitting new 52-week highs. And, you know, look, I mean, you have to blame management. It's been, there just hasn't been any innovation there. They had all that talcum powder problem. And yet I see it whenever somebody transfers an account to me from a big firm, you can almost count on Johnson & Johnson being in that portfolio. And it just makes no sense to me to, oh, when you've only got, okay, I've only got 25 seats in my dugout for my all-star team. That's all. Why would I give one of those seats up to Johnson & Johnson? Let's just look at their performance. Over the last 10 years, the stock has delivered 4.3% per year. The S&P has delivered 17.5%. If your broker your wirehouse firm has you in the stock, ask them, why has Johnson & Johnson over the last 3 years gone backwards? It's down 2.5% per year, while the S&P's averaged 7. Why over the last 12 months is my Johnson & Johnson down 10%, while the S&P's up 22%? Why do you continue to own this stock? I mean, there's no turnaround in sight. It's been going, it's been a very mediocre stock for many years, many years. The last time it had a good year was 2017. It was up 21%. Anyways, you know, look, I call them as I see them. And I just wouldn't have it as one of my holdings. Anyways, they disappointed again, stock selling off. Bank of America, I'm not a big fan of the bank stocks at all. That's not a good chart on Bank of America. It has 49% upside potential over the next 5 years. I like 85%, 75% or more. It's way below my valuation criteria. And the performance of Bank of America, we'll look it up very quickly here. How's it done? Probably not a whole heck of a lot better than Johnson & Johnson has done. Yet, it's another one that you'll find in most portfolios that the big guys on the corner down here in the big high buildings, they can see their mega yachts from there, you know? They can make sure that there's not a spot on their mega yachts. Anyways, the performance of Johnson & Johnson over the last, or Bank of America, 8.4. Half, it's done half of what the S&P 500 has done. And over the last 5 years, it's done 4% a year, 4.3, while the S&P's averaged 14.9. It has had a good 12-month period of time here, and it's been helped by interest rates for the most part because the financials are pretty sensitive. And now you got Morgan Stanley, all right? They reported today. Morgan Stanley is up 3.2%. So there's one bucking the trend, Morgan Stanley. And let's just take a look at how they've done as a stock over the last 10 years. Their performance. Now, you got to add it back in the dividend yield. They've done 11.5% per year, S&P 17.5. If you add in the dividend, maybe they've tracked the S&P 500, but they've had a terrible 12 months, terrible. Up 2% while the market's up 22%. Ouch. I call it best stocks now. I'll let you be the judge. Is it a best stock now? Now let's take a look underneath the surface of the market and see if there's anything here that gets us excited today. Let's go to the S&P 500, which is probably the best representation of the U.S. economy. The best performer in the S&P 500 today is United Healthcare, 4.7%. That's good. We need to get a bottom in on that. Very important stock out of Minneapolis. Super Microcomputer is number two, up 3.7%. That's an AI stock. Morgan Stanley, number three, up 2.9%. Coty, number four, that's cosmetics, up 2.4%. Netflix is up 2.3%. And AMD's having a good day, up 2%. And real quickly, the worst performer, Live Nation, which is being investigated. I think that's about those Taylor Swift concert tickets. The gap is down 5%. I'm seeing the consumer discretionary stocks not looking good right now at all. Tesla's down another 3.3%. Ugh. I'm so glad I sold it many moons ago. And Bank of America down 4.4%. Okay, if you'd like to meet with us while we're in Sarasota, we'll squeeze you in. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter and see what we own, you're not going to find Johnson & Johnson in any of my portfolios. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.